mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 447. I'm Adam and... and here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
He has Isabella held hostage.
Hmm, I thought about doing that one. Robert Haynes.
Soon we shall sit at meat, betimes you may wish to withdraw.
And Mary Lang.
Can anybody play?
And, you know, we had a little sweepstake as to who would be one first. Guess who got it right? Hello, hey. Lillian.
Kirby.
Oh, I wish I had some money on that. Do I get a point? Hang on, where's my bell? There you go. I'd certainly get a worth a ding if
you
I get that
one. We had a little bet going who was going to be the first one on, and Kirby wins because he guessed you.
No, I won. No, I guessed Lillian.
Oh, okay.
It was Master.
Yes. Lillian says hi, and then she says, what? Yes. Very unusual occurrence that we're on slightly early. Debbie Melrose is suffering from a few issues, which shall we, so we won't be discussing exactly what issues you suffered. But yes, the Reef part on Book of Excuses is really being flicked through a lot.
I don't know what race is responsible for that book.
Yes, he's exceedingly responsible for quite a lot of things. Lillian then says, do I get a prize? A verbal one. You get a verbal prize of being the first person on to view the show. Right then, so we're going to be talking about the King's Demons. I said the King's Demons. I was going to go with the Ding's Keemans. The King's Demons. So might as well, without a further ado, let's talk about Doctor Who. That's a bit of a throwback, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. So, I've got a slider bar. Yes, I have. So the story begins with a medieval sort of scene, which is actually quite good in a sort of castle-y. It does remind me a little bit like Blackadder 1. Although this shot on video, that was shot on film. This is shot on video.
Just not as funny.
And no Brian Blessed as well, who's in that particular...
Brian Blessed?
It's a beautifully set up with the banquet and the Irish wolfhounds. I presume they're Irish wolfhounds.
They're Irish wolfhounds. They were hired specifically for this.
God. And the jester and Debbie Melrose saying, sorry, I'm not on yet, listening in. Oh, sorry. Sorry, I'm not on yet again. Sorry, I missed the word again. Listening, she's listening in, so we better be nice to her. Oh, no, we won't.
What, that two-faced little... Oh, wait a minute. She's listening.
Right, then. Anyway, so, yes, so we see this. And then they're basically entertaining the king, who has a bit of a tantrum, gets annoyed with some of the entertainment. And... yeah, I noticed that Sir, whatever his name is, I can't remember his name now, it was a bloke that was in Zed cars. What was his name? Sir somebody or other, wasn't it? Or was it Lord somebody or other? Who owns the castle? Who was that bloke?
Blonde Kirby.
Blonde head with beard.
I don't know.
My goodness, well, there you go. It's the first time that's ever happened. Anyway, a kerfuffle starts.
Sir Ranulph Fitzwilliam. There we go.
Frank Windsor?
It is Frank Windsor, yeah. Anyway, a kerfuffle happens, which results in a gauntlet being slapped in someone's chest. Now, and then the master, we can't even say that this is some French bloke, because it's so blatantly obviously the master, because he's so rubbish. At pretending not to be the master.
It is.
And the funny thing is, he's trying to do a French accent that sounds like he's Welsh.
I know, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Whose idea was that? I'm having a sip of tea.
Oh, that was me.
No, I mean, the idea that they would get Anthony Ainley to try and do an accent he obviously can't do. Anyway,
well,
so...
it had to be, since most of the king's... men were French. The thing is, in court, they would have also been speaking French and not English. So,
oh, God.
But the thing is that Anthony Aine can't do a French accent.
Yeah, that's right. The point I was trying to make. Anyway, right. So, so the gauntlet is thrown down, so that a jousting session is set up in Carisbrook Castle's yard. Oh no, sorry, that's what you can see at Carisbrook Castle during summer. Well, summer activities, which probably won't happen this year. So the king's champion, i.e. the master, is now going to joust with the last remaining son of Thingamajig, Frank Windsor. And it all starts, and just in the middle of the battle, the tar disappears. And the doctor...
And spooks the horses.
And spooks the horses. The doctor says, "Ooh, this doesn't look right," and decides to grab his hat, gives Tegan a rather fluffy coat thing, so it must have been really cold.
Well, master, oh. Master. Yes, it was cold, but also...
Oh, God.
She picked, this was that dress, that multicolored dress.
Yeah.
She picked out,
I hate that.
She picked it out specifically, at least one of the things I read said this. I don't know if she did it on purpose, but it really, if she had worn that in front of, CSO, CSO would have failed miserably because it's got every color that you would use CSO with.
It's very similar to the one she wears in
the Resurrection of the Daleks.
Resurrection of the Daleks. Yes, yeah. Thank you.
It's probably the same. Doesn't she also wear it in Five Doctors?
I can't remember.
I don't know.
Well, we'll see Five Doctors pretty darn
That's
soon.
True.
Yeah,
well,
anyway,
That's
so they
true.
Come out of the TARDIS and they immediately get. They immediately get called demons by the king, who's very amusing. Has to be said.
Have you ever been to Bodiam Castle?
No. Can we move on? The battle continues. The doctor's very quickly perched next to the king in the viewing platform. Well, he just perches on the little pew, doesn't he? The last remaining son falls off his horse and he's just about to get done in by the master, but the doctor pleads with the king to sort of ease one, don't worry, don't have to kill him.
He had the sword held over him for quite a while.
He did, yes. For a dramatic effect, obviously. I've got a burp coming.
Yeah, and the actor who played the son added in rehearsal his crossing himself.
Yes.
Yeah, so...
That was good.
You know, the guy who did that, he was in Top Secret, playing a Blue Lagoon type character. Very funny.
And also, notice also...
Oh, I haven't thought about Top Secret in ages.
Oh, it's an excellent movie.
Yeah, I don't watch that again. It's been a long time.
Very funny.
He is.
He is. Anyway, I was just watching some of these camera angles and stuff. Obviously, there's terrible weather because when he falls off the horse, his hair's fairly dry. The amount of time he's been lying on the ground waiting to be done, and his hair's completely soaked. Yeah.
And then he's had a blow dry by the time he gets in the castle again.
Yes.
You can see in some of the scenes where they're riding the horses with those knights later on, that it is absolutely pouring rain in the background.
Yes. Mm. So, he's not very happy that the son, that he's not allowed to be dispatched, has been dishonoured. Tolo, meanwhile, his clothes must absolutely stink because he's had the same clothes on since Mordred Undead.
He never changes,
really honk.
He's got a wardrobe full of them.
So they're sort of...
Well, don't you know in the TARDIS there's this thing that washes over you and sanitizes you in between?
Yeah, it's got to be.
That's in Voyager, isn't it? The sonic shower? Don't think.
Yeah.
So they're given a little room, and Tegan moans as usual about because he's cold. So
yeah, Tegan says, "Look at the size of that thing."
Yeah.
What's
with the comment? Oh, another way to keep warm or something.
I don't know. What's that then?
When he looks at the bed, he says, "Oh, that's another way to keep warm."
Well, maybe he wants to do something with a companion.
Yeah, indeed.
Joel Bateman says, "Hi, Whovians," and then does a Tegan says Tegan with a sort of yellow love heart. I quite agree, although mine would be a sort of bright red love heart for. Anyway, so somehow
that's a yellow love heart.
Yeah,
it was a year ago this weekend that I met Janet Fielding.
Splendid. All right then. So
I've never met her since.
I've seen her in the flesh, but I haven't actually met her. Anyway, so Turlough somehow manages to get himself separated from the others and gets threatened by Mr. You know, the chap who's in the bad mood because he didn't get killed. and then he he threatens to put Turlough in the sort of what's that thing that where they you put them in that's got spikes and.
Iron Maiden,
that's it, yeah.
And Iron Maiden is completely anachronistic, and they were never really used.
Fantastic. But anyway, fortunately in the scene there's about three or four of them, so you don't think, oh, that's the one that's the Master's TARDIS. Anyway, so... But the Master comes in and stops the Nipper from dealing with Turlough. And then... Yeah, let's move on a bit of the conversation between the Doctor and Thingamajig. The TARDIS, meanwhile, gets wheeled into the castle. Well, I say wheeled, or sort of moved into the castle on a sort of...
similar to the Visitation, really.
Yeah. And the Master himself is looking quite pleased with himself at this point, because we all knew, even when I watched it the first time, we knew it was the Master, which is quite disappointing. And then... some gingerhead bloke rides through the into the proceedings on a horse to say that essentially that the king is he just left the king isn't in London or something like that. Can't remember what he said, but he was in London.
In
the Tower of London or something.
Four and a half hours since.
They were both doing their little pledge to join the Crusades.
Well, Joel Bateman says TARDIS is not for sale. That's a shame. What could I do with the TARDIS? Anyway, so gingerhead bloke. Now, I recognise this actor. He's got a very sort of deep voice, but I recognise him, and I can't think what I've seen him in since. He's quite well known now.
His name is Michael J. Jackson.
Yeah, oh, he died, didn't he, a few years ago?
2009.
I know he was trying to get himself paler, but this is... I didn't realise he went ginger.
He was in Highlander, the series.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
What else has he been in?
Don't know, but anyway, let's move on.
He was in Emmerdale as Jerry Walsh.
Yeah, that's gone right past my head. Anyway, so
he's been in Coronation Street. Well, everyone's been in Coronation Street.
Okay.
Adam always watches that.
Marvellous. Anyway, so meanwhile, there's another banquet. And... some entertainment goes on, and then, oh, God, I was moving forward. Oh, yeah, and then God. Shush! The king starts singing. Oh, it was, to try and not stick my fingers in my ears was the hardest thing I've ever done.
And he does an absolutely worst job of bloody miming to playing the lute.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
So appalling. Let's have a clip.
No riches here on earth shall see, no scootage in eternity.
He's like proper drunken, drunken, slobbish sort of song. It's appalling. I mean, it's worse. I mean, there's two stories running. They've had this sort of thing going on with obviously Linda.
Didn't do her.
Anyway,
did you play the Ballad of the Last Chance Saloon when you did?
No, shut up. No, I probably did actually. Anyway, Lily Roman says my ears. I hope she wasn't referring to my rendition of his rendition. Joel Bateman says David Tennant is my favourite Doctor. Yeah, well, yes. quite understandably so. I watch it, not necessarily the fine performance by Peter Davison as the Fifth Doctor, but that really did grate my ears quite badly. Anyway, this culminates, probably because everybody's wound up by the bad singing, into a fight between the Doctor and the Master, which is obviously reminiscent.
Yes,
reminiscent of the Sea Devils.
Roger Delgado. Mm. That's exactly what I thought.
Yes. And of course... surprise, surprise, reveals himself as the Master. And in fact, he looked slightly less like the Master when he actually revealed himself as the Master.
He's the blandest Master. I always forget about him.
Ooh, harsh.
He was the first Master I ever saw, so I kind of... He's not my favourite Master.
What don't
this
get
wasn't
is,
a very good story for him, though.
Master?
Yeah, the Master, yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Master, Kirby,
yes.
Master. The actress who plays the wife of the castle owner.
Yes.
Isla Blair is
Isla.
Mary.
Isla.
Isla. Okay.
Which is quite ironic because it's Isla not being very well is one of the reasons why Debbie's not on.
Yeah.
And this character's Isla.
Anyway, she is married to Julian Glover.
Oh.
Still.
Okay. Right then. So.
And in Indiana Jones: The Last Crusade, she played Julian Glover's wife.
Ah, okay.
Splendid. Thank you, Robert, for your trying to sound interested well. Sound. That was great. Anyway, so the master, oh, sorry, the doctor manages to get hold of the master's rather rude implement and waves it at him in a very seductive way. No, sorry.
I'll kill you with this sex toy.
Yeah. and hang on, me DVD thingy stopped.
Yeah, I've got to shift to the next episode. There we go.
You know what?
Shift to the next episode.
All right, we are on the next one. Anyway, so they basically, they managed to manipulate the master into the Iron Maiden, which, of course, we knew all along was likely to be his TARDIS. It was very difficult.
Yeah, but did you like his...
Yes. And the doctor pretending to, because the doctor didn't want to put him in there, but they threatened him with old ginger locks, and you know the doctor's always wanted to be ginger, isn't he? So he felt a bit sorry for him, and this character's already then it dematerializes, and I mean, so at this point the master then comes out of his TARDIS and starts telling everybody that the doctor is evil, and of course Turlough's going, no he's not. Oh, he's lying. No, he's not. That sort of thing, which is quite funny because it's sort of currently out of character with Turlough because he's been constantly sort of against the doctor until
the previous episode. What was Turlough's role in this episode, these episodes as well? Did stuff all? Didn't he?
Essentially, yes. He was just somebody that they could poke swords at. So
lock him up.
So the Doctor is painted as an evil villain, but because he beat the Master in the battle, he's now the King's Champion.
And he's Sir Doctor.
Sir Doctor, yeah.
Arise, Sir Doctor.
Anyway, so the Sir What's-His-Name Ginger Bloke is sent on his way back to the King, but unfortunately gets shot in the back.
Or is he?
He gets shot in the back. What?
Wouldn't you have thought that by the time... Victoria knights him that she'd already know that he was the doctor, that Sir Doctor.
God. I think that God is,
It's not going to help us though. Laurie Nick says, hello all. Hello, Laurie. Anyway, as I was trying to say, Ginger Locks rides away on his white steed, and then, I don't know, he must be a fan of some football club because his arms go in the air, he's riding, so because obviously somebody scored a goal.
Yeah.
Oh no, he's been shot in the back with a crossbow. So somehow,
it's like those people in movies who have car crashes, you know, they put their arms across their face. Oh, it's going to stop the car.
Indeed.
Yes.
And when Kennedy got shot, he put his hands up to his throat, not sort of out like that. I don't know, it's a real situation, but there you go. So Tegan is shepherded into the TARDIS.
Ah, oh, I don't. I was just going to say with that shot, I like the master saying that was a good shot.
Yeah. So I say Tegan goes off in the TARDIS, but the TARDIS dematerializes. How'd that happen then?
The master did it.
Did he?
It's explained.
Okay. Right. So the doctor is there, and then he sort of runs off into the. The rooms of the castle through a few darkened corridors, and then here's this terrible noise.
To free the tomb of Christ our Lord, we'll put the number to rest.
Which has been slightly put for the ring modulator, which makes it sound slightly better. And then this sort of silver person is sort of sat there playing this
pathetic
liar. And the doctor leans his arm on his shoulder.
Chameleon, thank you.
I like Chameleon too. And then we find, of course, that surprise, surprise, the Chameleon is the one who's actually pretending to be the king. And then we have a Brain of Morbius situation with the Doctor and the Master fighting over who's going to gain control of Chameleon, who's got the stronger mind. While, of course, Sir Gingerlocks is trying to tell them, no. Not when I say Sir Gingerlocks, I don't mean Turlough, by the way. It might be quite confusing for some people. His last dying words are trying to get across that the Doctor's okay, but they won't believe it. Anyway, so after the mind battle over Chameleon, the TARDIS materialises and Turlough comes into the room just to finish off the episode, and they all sort of slip away in the TARDIS with Chameleon. And Tegan, who obviously is, because Chameleon's turned into Tegan, isn't entirely impressed that we've got a Tegan and a
thing. Neither was Turlough.
Neither is Turlough. But basically, Chameleon becomes a companion until. But we don't see Chameleon for quite a long time until Planet of Fire. But there you go. That's no.
There's apparently some deleted scenes from another story between now and.
Next year, I think it is. Yeah.
Deleted scenes of another story between now and what?
Planet of Fire.
You're talking about the five Doctors.
It's only in this story and Planet of Fire. And
yes, I just said that right. Where's the deduction button gone? Anyway, Joel Bateman says Ozzy is a better singer. Quite great.
Was it The Awakening? I think it was The Awakening.
The Chameleon's in?
I believe so. Yeah.
He was supposed to be in Awakening.
Yeah,
they filmed The Awakening.
Ah, okay. Well, there you go. So, The King's Demons. It's quite acceptably two parts. It's a real filler story, isn't it? But it's okay. Yeah. I mean, it's the story itself is not too bad. It's just. It's quite cheesy.
It doesn't make any sense, really.
No, not really. It's cheesy because of the trying to hide the Master. They really could have done a bit better even the makeup then, they could have made him look less. Why don't they just get a different actor? And he's so in disguise, he's not actually Antonelli. Maybe get Antonelli to dub over his crap accent if they really wanted a crap accent on that. That's sort of sporty because
you'd have to be blind and deaf not to realise it's the Master.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been quite good to sort of not realise it was the Master.
Jill Istram.
Yes, which is an anagram of. Well, it's not the Master, is it?
Istram is Master.
It was usually
Istram was Master.
Yeah, there we go then. Yeah, it was okay. It was just filler. You know, in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to get the five Doctors, or, you know, next week, we're going to get five Doctors. So we'll just bung in these two episodes.
In compensation for this episode.
I could say the scenery was nice. Lots of extras in it, unusually. The story was a bit meh. Yeah. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen in Doctor Who, but it's not particularly good.
Well, even the Doctor says, you know, this is a small fry by the Master's standards.
Yeah, exactly. It was a bit pathetic, wasn't it? And also the fact that the ending was really where they didn't even sort of solve it all, did they? Just jumped to the top.
That's what I mean.
What they should have done on several million occasions before this, they actually did get in the TARDIS and, you know, get off
out. Run away.
Yes.
Run away.
Which they should have perhaps done. If they'd done that, basically all they needed to do, because the Master wasn't really causing that much havoc at this particular stage, was to, once they'd landed the TARDIS and seen what was outside, just dematerialise again, because there was not really much point of them being there. End off.
Didn't Tegan just want to do something like that?
Yes, I think she did, but she always wants to do something like that, doesn't she? Right then, Robert, what did you think of The King's Demons?
The thing that I really liked about it was Chameleon, when I first watched it, I was so impressed that they actually had a real robot on the show. But now we learn that it wasn't exactly a very good working robot, though.
No, it wasn't.
And lots of problems. But, yeah, that's my overriding memory from when I was young, Chameleon. So the story was quite forgettable, really.
Yeah.
But, it's just a shame. Because they could have done a lot with it, because, you know, the BBC does good period kind of stuff.
But I'm going to say, like I said, it's what they should be thankful for, that they did decide to make this a two-parter, because imagine if this had been a four-parter, they tried to stretch it out.
Oh, God.
Which they have done, since and previous to this. Mm. Oh, sorry, yeah. Did I interrupt you?
No, that's it.
No, that's it, is it? Okay. Kirby, what did you think of The King's Demons?
It was not Orphan 55.
Obviously not.
It's damning with faint praise.
Yes.
It's not bad.
Wasn't it?
But it's not memorable.
Okay.
It just was.
Yeah.
It was okay. It was
like I mentioned on Facebook, I fell asleep during the last 10 minutes of the second episode. For the first
time, it was
the first time I'd ever seen this story. I fell asleep during it.
What time are you watching it, though?
8 in the evening.
Yeah, so that's nap time for me as well, Kobe, so it's probably good. I mean, I'm trying to stay awake watching Marvel films.
Unfortunately, I've watched it 4 times now.
Why? I mean, unfortunately, it's not that bad.
Why? Because I watched it the first time through, and then I watched it with InfoText, and then I just watched it for some reason, and then I had it on this morning just as background.
Is it because you're in lockdown and you've got nothing better to do?
I was listening to it, not watching it.
Okay. Joel Bateman says, "I like the Five Doctors." Me too, Joel. Well, you'll find out next week whether we like the Five Doctors or not.
Find out.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Sorry, you done, Kirby?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Prepare yourself, everybody. Mary, what did you think of it?
Well,
I loved it.
What a great impression that was.
It's a very weak script. It's very thin, but I'll tell you, these people—they were acting their socks off trying to make it work.
Yeah.
You know, the
sets, guy when he died.
The music was awful. But you know, the acting—I can't flaw the acting because they did try. But I mean, there are just so
very
many
trying.
Things that just don't work out very well. Even Lord Ranulf, the guy, you know, the castle that they're in,
Ranulf.
He can't even make up his mind what he thinks about the doctor. First, he's thanking him for saving his son. Then he's accusing him of bewitching the king and being a demon. And then they're together. He's opening up and confiding in the doctor. And then he turns around and he's accusing him to be a sorcerer. So it's like, all right, what is it? What do you think? Yeah. And I mean, neither Tegan nor Turlo had anything to do with this. They were kind of basically in the background.
Yeah, they might as well have stayed in the TARDIS.
Yeah, Tegan moving the TARDIS was about the only job she had in this story.
And moaning. She had a bit of moaning to do.
Yeah, and I hated the ending. The fact that, you know, they just run into the TARDIS and run away. It's like, what?
That's not it.
But the highlight of this thing was supposed to be Chameleon. I don't remember who, but John Nathan Turner was talked into having this real robot character, thinking this was going to be...
They promised lots of things, though, about it. Though,
yeah, well, you know, they talked him into it and said, you know, this is going to be the big deal. This is going to be the big surprise. I mean, even the master being revealed was not a big surprise, but he thought that... But this person thought that Chameleon was going to be the big highlight of the story. But then, so he designs it, doesn't really complete it before he dies in a boat accident. And so then from there on,
How dare he?
Yeah, because they'd already, you know, written the script and they were moving forward with a lot of it. Nobody knew how to work this robot.
He's a programmer.
Yeah, so Chameleon pretty much ended up just kind of being a puppet that couldn't move, so that all they could really move was his head. And as you can see in a lot of the scenes, when he's looking from one person to another, they don't even do that very well, because he's not looking at who's talking. He's looking at the ceiling above the person who's talking.
Yeah,
so that whole thing that was supposed to be, you know, the featured item of the story turns out to be, you know, a complete fizzle. So that's why Chameleon pretty much got retired for all the stories until the last one of the season?
Planet of Fire. Last one he's in is Planet of Fire, anyway.
because they had to keep working on him to see if they could get it to work. Because, I mean, once they convince it, because the story has him getting in the TARDIS with them, so you expect Chameleon's going to be a companion from now on.
Yes.
But he does kind of mysteriously disappear after that.
There's a couple of mentions
of him.
Can I
say something about that?
No. Though, I'll go on him.
Because he's a shapeshifter, he could have been anybody.
Yeah, could have been, exactly.
Could have been those chameleons.
Anybody or anything.
Yeah, you think they could have used that.
Yes.
But on the topic of Chameleon, he does get a good fleshing out and a lot to do. Nice. Just last year, Big Finish put out three stories that feature Chameleon. The first one is called Devil in the Mist. That was released in January. The second one was a two-story thing called Black Thursday and Power Game.
Yeah,
and then the conclusion of the trilogy is called The Chameleon Empire, which gives a lot of background as to where Chameleon came from, the people that he, you know, how he came to be, and how he ended up being on the planet.
Xerophes.
Yeah, where on, did you say Xerophes?
Yes.
Xerophes.
Yes.
Xerophes, yeah. How he came to be on Xerophes and how he helped the master escape. They're really good stories. Of course, Chameleon Empire is the best because it gives you so much, you know, background on Chameleon. So I do recommend them. They, like I said, released last year, January, February, and March, if anybody wants to dig deeper into
the
Chameleon.
I'm sure Nick Briggs was actually thrilled to bits for that plug.
I was wondering what they did because of the fact that the actor who played who was the king and also the voice of Chameleon, has been dead for a long time. They got John Culshaw.
Yeah.
Well, what a surprise.
Yeah, he does a really
good go-to guy.
He does a very good job.
Okay, Joel, does he sing?
Pardon?
What?
Does he sing?
No.
Probably not.
He doesn't sing.
Good. Joel Bateman says, this is so much fun. Obviously, must be watching something on telly while listening to the show. and then he says, poor Chameleon. Right then, so that's it for a review of The King of Demons, so which now leads us on to the feedback section of the show. Now, Kirby, that we you did what?
Master?
Yes.
I was supposed to read something from Nicole last week, but because of the cats escaping.
Oh, my God. Right then, so do that, and then you can do Debbie Melrose's feedback via the... the unusual 20 megabyte crew page thingy. But go on, do that one. Where's my wand gone? I'm going to play with my wand for a bit.
What is it? Wand?
My wand, yeah. My elder wand. Allows me to scratch.
Excuse me, what you do in your private time? You shouldn't be.
I do it on the show, Robert. Obviously, you don't listen to it often enough. Here is the elder wand, which I am now going to scratch my back with. Carry on, Kirby.
Anyway, I invited Nicole on last week, and she was not able to make it, but she did say, Enlightenment is my favorite 5e story, so I hope they all enjoy it.
Oh, plus, dear. She watched all the Five Doctors stories. If that's her favorite one, that's terrible. Carry on.
Plus, it's even somewhat relevant to Modern Who, as the Eternals even got a shout-out back in Can You Hear Me this year, though I think I'm the only person that enjoyed that story, so there's that. Anyway, have fun. And then she says, P.S. Sheffield.
Yeah, a bit late for that, but never mind. Yes. Right then, so you put out a request for feedback on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join.
Which you can join.
What?
Which you can join.
I said, I didn't say that bit, did I?
Yes, you did. I interrupted you before you could.
Well, then you didn't say it.
No, don't say it. Carry on.
Am I reading those?
Yes, you are. It's your job and you know it. It's the only time you actually go fast is when you're reading all these bits of feedback.
Okay. I disparaged this story in my request for feedback. So Robert said, hey, you should save your comments for the podcast. Now people know how you feel about it.
Yeah.
Jeff says... you get four episodes of The Time Warrior, which takes place in the same kind of setting, as an enjoyable romp and doesn't have any filler. You get two episodes of this, which is utter garbage. You wonder what the hell has happened to this program. Nothing happens. There is no threat, no surprises, and the master's play on what there is of it is so out of character, we'd really have been better with the meddling monk. This is another story that I've never seen a hint of, and I'll never watch it. Absolutely abysmal.
Okay. Does he not like it then?
Robert says,
just listen.
Robert, what'd you say?
No, you read it.
Come on, tell us what you really think of it.
And then he said, and then he says something very rude.
Yes, Jeff says something starting with F.
Awful, yeah.
Robert says, better not get you on the podcast. It'd be such a quick review there. Alan T. Butcher, it's one of the greatest stories ever, is an expression not often connected to the story.
I love that.
I think we'll do that one again because we were laughing over it. I'll say it so that our English viewers can understand it. Alan T. Butcher says it's one of the greatest stories ever is an expression not often connected to this story. So that might have just disappeared into the laughter that it generated. Carry on.
Jefferson Lee Ng says Chameleon's first appearance. Of course, nobody could be arsed to follow through with the character because of technical and other complications. That is, until Planet of Fire, which is another story entirely.
Exactly.
And he also says, pretty much filler until we get to the Five Doctors and a contractual fulfillment for Anthony Hamley's Master. I remember back in the mid to late 80s, the local PBS decided to randomly show this one as an unannounced bonus airing during a Sunday afternoon pledge drive once. It garnered some attention from me.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Robert says so it was good for something at least.
And then Jeff Waller says, pedantic Bartlett Sloan, PBS. Superb.
Lori Nix, two episodes that feel like 20. I don't recall this episode, though I know I watched it as I like the
shape. I tell you what, I do love people who exaggerate. Well done, Lori. That's going to get one of these.
As I like the shape-shifting android idea, which went nowhere, of course.
Yeah.
She also says, did they maybe just have access to some other film set for a weekend? Because that's what it seems like. I do like the Iron Maiden TARDIS, though. Yes. Robert says, though, every time an Iron Maiden is mentioned, I can't help think of Bill and Ted and someone being told to take them to the Iron Maiden, to which they reply, excellent! Robert Wentz Jr., watching the story is like watching paint dry. Even though location shooting was a plus, even the doctor said this planet was too small for the master. At the end, we have the fight, Dr. Master over Chameleon. I know spelling is wrong, so I said it right, by the way.
Chameleon.
Reminded me of the brain fight in Brain of Morbius. It changes into Tegan from King John. Oh, by the way, Kirby will probably talk about how the maker of the robot passed away. No, it was Robert who said that. And they were stuck trying to figure out how to use it. 1.5 out of 5.
Ooh, a generous Robert score says, there.
That's us.
Robert says, we've got a nice song we can sing to this week.
Neil James. Has the sarcasm font on, though.
Neil James says, the King's Demons. I really love the Fifth Doctor two-parters, except this one. The king is pretty creepy, and the master's accent is pretty awful. Lovely location work outside the castle, and we even get a joust. Action! Tegan's new shirt is very 80s. Creepy king sings a song, and we get a decent sword fight. Chameleon is discovered, and they kidnap him. The end. Not much else to say. Even the cast look bored. I don't hate it, but I'm thankful it's only short. Two stars out of five.
Very generous, Neil.
Yeah.
Yes. It got me thinking about something then, but... No, it's gone. Right then. So, what else we got? Oh, you can
read loving two-parters.
Debbie Melrose. Or shall I read Debbie Melrose's feedback?
Yes, you
okay,
should.
Okay, I'll
do
that.
You've got to put on the voice, though.
Oh, actually, no, that's what got me. You said about the voice. It reminded me when Ainley's sort of accents. It was trying to be French, but ended up sort of being half Indian, half Welsh. there's a character in... one of the genres which does an act. Oh, it was in one of the Doctor Who stories, Tom Baker one, the one Nightmare of Eden, Trist, where he did an accent that didn't really belong anywhere. He's made
it's
it
like
up.
A German sort of accent he was trying for, I think.
Anyway, right. So
died
Debbie
last
Melrose.
Year or so, didn't he?
I don't know. Actually, I don't know.
I played it.
Debbie Melrose says, short but huh. What a strange little story to tell after the Black Guardian adventures. It felt like a filler material.
Can you do her voice?
No, I'm not doing her voice. All right, I'll try then. What a strange little story to tell after the Black Guardian adventures. It felt like filler material and tried to tell a sweet little tale, but I kept expecting more from it. The music was distracting and very of
your
its
voice
time.
Is distracting.
Shush. And very of its time. Reminded me of the tripods. But I have to say Peter Davison is sublime as the Doctor yet again. Kiss, kiss. That was quite accurate, actually. I'm quite proud of myself. Okay, so...
Now, listen, Debbie's going to have to come on now to say, well, that's not how you do my
voice.
It's
highly unlikely she's going to do that. Terry Miles says, hi all at 20 megabyte. I
Hello.
Watched this with my wife. Oh, God, she must have had a lot of time on their hands.
Yeah.
I bet she was absolutely thrilled to bits you made her sit through this. Anyway, this was her first time seeing this one. Oh, dear. But this is one of the stories I was not looking forward to seeing again. So many problems for me, the main one being a working robot in the 80s. If it ran on Microsoft, it would have had to stop every week to update its operating system. Indeed. God, I remember those days. Windows 10. God, I've had to get rid of two computers because of Windows 10. But moving back to the feedback, even the wife noticed Anthony Ainley when he appeared. Why didn't the Doctor? Indeed. The sword fight was not a fight, and the killing of the Baron's cousin at the range with a crossbow. No way. Maybe at 100 yards, meters, but not at that distance shown in the program. Sorry, it makes it sound as if I did not enjoy this story. It's just a good job this one came as a pack with Planet of Fire.
Yeah.
If you have seen the Planet of Fire, you'll know why. All in all, yet another meh story. Still, the next one has Tom sitting in a triangle and Sarah Jane and the gentle slope. So, yeah, thank you, Terry. What else we got here? I've got to send some stuff to the dulcet tone lady while find dulcet tone lady on Facebook. M-A-R-Y. Here we go. Oh, there she is. I think I copied it.
Yep.
Right, and paste said, oh, it did work. Right then. While Mary gets a chance to digest a little bit of that, we'll do a little bit.
Digest?
Digest some of the words she's got to try and work out on pronunciation wise. We'll do a little
bit
of.
Should be fun.
Well, and not fun for Mary. No. We'll do a bit of this.
Hello, 20 Minute Mac Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
Terminus by Steve Gallagher.
Terminus?
I forgot to add this to my Terminus feedback.
Oh.
The story about the ship full of Lazarus disease sufferers.
Oh, yes.
There was an episode of Star Trek, Encounter at Farpoint, in which Q revealed that Earth had been devastated by a plague.
Uh-oh.
Some fanatical Trek followers believe the show is an accurate, detailed description of the future, which is proved by this reference to COVID-19, and that one day, Captain Kirk will really exist. I wonder if I'm related. I also forgot to add this.
When you put your arms around me, I get a fever that's so hard to bear. You give me fever.
I only worked 46 hours this week, so here I am. In an emergency, a Tom Baker scarf, available from lavazi.co.uk, can be used as a face mask.
Indeed.
Or as a garrote for hand-to-hand combat in the queue for the toilet rolls. You can render your opponent insensible and still remain 2 meters away.
Because the long scarf.
Having been paid for working a lot of hours, I ordered several Doctor Who DVDs, but they were delayed in the post by the crisis. Terminus has finally turned up. Ah, well. I only bought it for the camera work. If Flags of Fire has arrived also. The King's Demons by Terence Dudley. Judging by the 20 megabyte Facebook page, which you can join, the Fifth Doctor's swashbuckling story is very unpopular. Perhaps he buckled when he should have swashed. They fooled me. I thought King John was the master. The actual robot they used for Chameleon was quite impressive on screen for the time.
Yeah.
Apparently, he had to be constantly worked on in the studio to get it to work at all. Well, JNT did want another K9.
Mm.
Isabella is in this one.
She is.
Ah, wrong Isabella. When the fake king asked the three TARDIS crew to join him, there is room for exactly three on the bench beside him.
I noticed that,
can't say too much about the TCE on the family podcast. The ending is very abrupt.
Yes.
The TARDIS crew are off to their next adventure. The Doctor has used the TCE to sabotage the Master's TARDIS, so he's killed when he tries to use it.
I'm not dead!
Yeah. He said he's not dead!
It is somebody important's birthday next week.
Shh!
Me. Oh, and Adam. And the podcast. Bye for now.
Nice one. Is that time to put that one together? Apparently.
He said, forgot to add, well, at least Turlough got chained to a wall for most of the story.
That was a bonus, wasn't it? Yes, I think that almost concludes me. No, it doesn't, of course, because Dulcet Tone Lady is just about to recite Alan T. Butcher's feedback.
This should be fun.
But not after I say, Joel Bateman says, up the irons. It's a reference. I guess that might be a sports reference. Go on then, Mary.
I have to say, my challenge in reading Alan's feedback isn't so much the words. Mm-hmm. It's the run-on sentences that require...
no punctuation, you mean?
To read, yes. Okay. The two King Johns, or look at the size of that charter, Doctor. Yes, Turlough, it is a big one, isn't it? Dear 20 megabiters, The King's Demons is, of course, a closely studied account of things that didn't happen under King John's reign. Perhaps the thesis here is that the power residing in monarchy is illusory, weak, and ultimately useless to the wider community. It should be noted that whilst some thought the Doctor letting Chameleon, who was under the Master's control, join the TARDIS crew was as bad an idea as John Nathan Turner hiring a prop to be a companion, actually they must have both been desperate to do something different and reckless to get away from all the beigeness. We also learn that the policeman chap from Ghostlight and Z-Cars was probably a descendant of Lord Renoff, who once hosted King John in his own castle, or at least thought he did. The family resemblance is remarkable over so many generations. All in all, The King's Demons is somewhat lackluster, pseudo-historical, about a pseudo-King John Lackland. The clever disguising of the Master is absent from this production, as both his voice and his face are fully recognizable right from the start.
Yeah.
It is surprising Ainley never appeared in Ello Ello with that accent. The plot is unfortunately just a series of events, and the amount of grist discarded from the rumor mills that surround John is a heartbreaking missed opportunity. There is a half-hearted attempt to suggest he was not as bad as he is painted, but the king's absence makes this pretty hollow. The fight arrangements are dull, and even the jousting is accomplished with a melancholy gallop. There were some incredible, if not memorable, performances here from some good actors, but the dialogue seems waterlogged, and the discovery about Chameleon seems incidental. Sitting my medieval history A-level exam was much more entertaining than this. This story is perhaps five episodes too short because you could have added loads of really historically interesting plot points instead of this flaccid and marginal tale. Next up, Doctor Who and the two other Doctors, some random old cosplayer, and a waxwork doll, or above, between, below. That's what she said. Those are my thoughts. I'll let T. Butcher.
Splendid.
Excellent.
Yeah, it got me thinking something, but then it went out of my head again. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, Neil James says, oh, hang on. No, sorry. Joel Bateman says, you come and go, you come and go. That's what she said. And then Neil James says, I'm usually a fan of the special editions with the updated effects. This is not the case with the Five Doctors. Oh, that's a bit of an early review.
That's for next week, yeah.
The original version is superior.
I would recommend not watching that special edition.
No, no, watch the episodic version. I like the original episodic version, not the one they did it as a. The original one that went out on the night was a feature.
It wasn't an episodic version.
No, please let me speak, please. On the night it went out, it was feature length, and then they repeated it a bit later as an episodic. And that's the one I like to watch, the repeated episodic version. Are you going to complain about that?
Yes.
I'll be quiet. Right then, Neil James says,
as it was originally broadcast.
Exactly. Are you now? I've got two DVDs of the Five Doctors. One is the original release, which is one of the first DVDs ever to come out of Doctor Who.
Yeah, I remember that. And that's then the re-release,
which is the episodic one. So I don't know. I'm hoping, and I don't know, my potential son-in-law, Mr. Kyle Quinn, I want him on the show once we get into New Who, and I'm hoping, because next week is our birthday episode, to get him on, and therefore I'd have to get him a copy of Five Doctors to watch. I haven't asked him yet, but we'll see on that one. All right then, Neil James.
I have two DVDs of the Five Doctors as well, and I don't remember any episodic version. I went in a used bookstore and... when I was first collecting all my Doctor Who DVDs, and I went, oh, here's the Five Doctors. Yay. I got it home and discovered that it was a...
special edition.
The special edition, which is simply wrong.
That was the first version of it.
Yeah.
That they released. That
is wrong.
Okay, and, I'll try and watch the original feature-length one. Shut your face.
I had trouble finding...
I'm having trouble now.
A good copy of the Five Doctors, and I think I had to pay
As long as you can watch it, it's essentially the same story.
I've got the real version now.
Okay, be quiet.
Can I ask something then, both of you?
Uh-oh.
Because over here it was released as a special edition with the original version and the special edition, or should I say limited edition, whatever it's called, because we first issued with that special edition as one of the first DVDs that came out for Doctor Who range, but then I think it was 2007 or something. They released a with both versions in it. Did that get released overseas, like in the US? No, and not in the UK. What about the UK?
No idea.
Yeah, because I very specifically have two different releases, two different boxes, and one has the swirly time scoop, and the other has the pyramid. It should be the pyramid time scoop.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, back to Neil James's feedback. I'll start again. I'm usually a fan of the special editions,
I'm unusually.
Shut up. I'm usually a fan of the special editions with the updated effects, but this is not the case with the Five Doctors. The original version is superior. The special edition's biggest crime is that it removes the Cyberman saying, ah, to himself, or ah, to himself when he spies the Doctor and the Master. One of the funniest moments in all of Who.
And then he says,
I remember they showed the episodic version on TV between the seasons 21 and 22. Thank you, Neil. You get one of these. Because as usual, I'm right. Right then. So therefore, that leaves us to move on to this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. Oh, I've just got me cards. I'm back again. Pardon?
Saying it's off, you've dropped the cards.
No, it's back on again because I found them. Put it all upside down. Right then, okay, so I shall roll upside the down. Dice. What? I shall roll the dice for Mary, who has the first question. So, Mary, you've come up with purple, years and dates. Are you ready? Doesn't matter if you are or not, because I'm going to ask it anyway.
As I ever am.
Oh, it's very dark in here. I nearly gave you the answer to the question. Right, the question is...
My lack of grasp of any details. Go right ahead.
What kids' magazine that ran from 1971 to 1994, excuse me, is on the tables of the hair salon inside the God Complex? So what... That's a very difficult question. What kids' magazine that ran from 1971 to 1994 is on the tables of the hair salon inside the God Complex?
Something I would never have noticed.
You
so
won't
I
get
have
this.
No
idea. I didn't know what the answer is, so that's why I thought I said it. Add in with it. You won't look in was the answer to that one. Good old look in. I used to
look
get
in.
Look
I was going to say look in too.
Look in too.
So
that's
looking.
That's a point.
As opposed to looking three and four.
Oh, Robert. Robert, there we go. I'm going to roll the dice for Robert. Book. Robert's got... Oh, he's got purple as well.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so your purple question is, obviously, as I said, it's
years
and dates.
Oh, God.
Which French king that the 10th Doctor met and saved from the clockwork robots was on the throne between 1715...
Louis the Fifth.
Pardon?
Louis the Fifth.
Well, it's funny you should say that.
Louis Vuitton.
Nope, there's another point in the bonus box.
I have no idea. I don't know.
Well, it was Louis. Oh, they got that bit right. It was Louis the 15th. Was the answer.
Another 10.
For the lack of an X. For the lack of an X.
There's so many Louis, you can't get a point for that, I'm afraid. Right, Kirby, here we go. This is where the points are going to start.
Louise.
What?
Louise Jameson.
What? Right. Yellow for Kirby, which is a episodes and stories question. In 42, what trivia question about the Beatles and Elvis is on one of the SS Pantaleon's door seals?
I remember there was one. I don't remember what it was.
God, yeah. I wouldn't Me even too, remember right? there was one.
I'm liking these questions. So, do you know?
No.
Pardon? Is that a no?
That's
this
a no.
It's going well, isn't it?
It's going very well. I'm very, very pleased. So the answer was... I've got a card around the wrong way again. It is... who had the most pre-download UK number ones?
Who did? The Beatles.
No, that was... Oh, shut up. That was what the answer to the... Oh, that's very confusing, isn't it? Right then. So 3 points for the bonus pot. For this question, it's going to be a orange, which is Cast, Crew and Beyond. Ready, everybody? You say, I know, if you know. Then you get to answer the question. What was the full name of the companion that Blue Peter presenter Peter Purvis played in the mid-1960s?
I know.
Go on in, Robert.
Stephen Taylor.
Ooh. 3 points to Robert.
Yay.
Yes.
You should have played your joker. You would have won the game.
Yeah, you would have won the game.
We've got to get you into the
tell me.
Game here.
What to say? This
we're not allowed to tell you.
there are jokers available. But I've just took this joker off and I should have played it. I would have wiped the game out in one fell swoop. Right then, Mary.
Yeah, he would have.
Yeah, the quickest.
Damn.
Right then. Damn. Right then. Mary, your question, which is a green one, which is monsters. When scientists created the vervoid plant creatures, what were they intended to be? Have we had that question before at some point?
Something rude?
Well, you may have, but I don't remember.
Anybody? Don't get a point for it, but the answer was slaves. I forgot to do this to Mary. Yeah, and that's a point in the bonus pot.
I thought they were just created to resemble something rude.
Robert, you have blue, which is Time Lords. What was the name of the orphanage where the Silence nested and raised River Song as a young girl?
I have no idea. I knew it'd be bloody...
We're terrible with these this week.
I can see that. And the answer is, so another point goes into the bonus pot.
Mm-hmm.
The answer was Greystark Hall.
Greystark Hall.
I know. Tony Stark Hall, yes. All right, Kirby.
Master.
You got pink. Companions.
Pink?
Pink. Well, I think it's pink. Yeah, it's pink. Elton John's single, Daniel, inspired Mr. and Mrs. Pope to name their son, but what did they call him? Anybody there?
I know.
He was...
Oh, a shame, you can't have the question. Yeah. Elton John's single, Daniel, inspired Mr. and Mrs. Pope to name their son, but what did they call him?
Elton.
Pardon?
Yes.
Elton.
Hooray! Should have played your joker. But yes,
that he considered it, but it was just strange because the answer was part of the question.
Yes. Yeah. It does happen.
It's a right, trick question.
2 points in the bonus pot. It's a pink one. And it is this question for 2 points. Okay, same rules apply. Say, I know, and then you get to answer the question.
Yeah.
And remember, nobody's played a joker yet. And you can, with your joker, you can deduct points from other players, which might be advisable. Which Spitfire pilot joined the Doctor in the Battle of Demon's Run after helping him during the new Dalek paradigm? During the new Dalek paradigm attack on Earth. So which Spitfire pilot joined the Doctor in the Battle of Demon's Run after helping
him? I know.
Go on in, Kirby.
I'm going to joker it.
Yeah, go on in.
Danny boy.
I knew it'd be a bloody new who won.
Right, so that's made it a bit more competitive now. The current scores are, with no points at the bottom, is Mary. In second place, 3 points is Robert. And then the lead with 5 points, teetering on the edge of glory, is Kirby. So I would advise somebody to use their joker to try and deduct points off Kirby. Or just hope he's naughty between now and the end of the quiz, in which case I'll deduct points from him. Right, next question goes to Mary. Orange, Mary, okay. Which is cast, crew and beyond. Eve Miles played Torchwood agent Gwen Cooper, but which Ninth Doctor story did she appear in as an entirely different character?
Ninth Doctor. Wow. Yeah. I should know that.
Mm.
I love really? Gwen.
She wasn't Gwen in the episode.
Won't come to me. Sorry.
So therefore, we get one of these. Point goes into the bonus pot. Go on, Kirby. You won't get anything for it. But what was the answer?
It's the Unquiet Dad.
It is the Unquiet
Dad. Yes! Yeah, I couldn't draw it out of my head. But yeah.
All right, Robert.
Yes, sir.
Orange again. What was the name of the Carry On film that William Hartnell starred in as the titular... Starred in as the titular character.
Can I use my joker?
Yes.
Carry On Sergeant.
Well, the trouble is, that is absolutely spot on. Yes.
Thank you.
There you go.
Up to 5 points now. It's very close.
Oh, my.
So it still could be one on this question. Kirby's going to get a blue
Master.
Time Lords question. This one. Ooh. For the game. Or, yeah, it will be for the game. I doubt he'll give it up. Who gave Amy and Rory a prayer leaf that translated their daughter's name, Melody Pond, into the name she knew her by, River Song? So who gave her the leaf?
I don't remember the character's name.
Well, you
I'm
need
sorry.
To, because that's the answer. So you don't know?
I don't know.
Another point goes into the bonus pot. The answer was Lorna Bucket.
I should have remembered that she's the sister of Charlie Bucket in the Chocolate Factory.
It's interesting to note that question has been on the show before.
Yeah, I knew the name Bucket, but I couldn't remember her first name.
Okay, right. So still on the verge of victory. I'll tell you what, though, Mary, if you get this bonus pot question and use your joker at the same time, that'll really throw cat amongst the pigeons. So this is the bonus pot question. It's purple. Purple is years and dates.
Oh, yeah, my strength.
Here we go.
Right.
Again, you have to remember, you have to say, I know. What city were the 1948 Olympics... what city were the 1948 Olympics where the doctor admired a torchbearer held in? So where were the 1948 Olympics held? That's basically what the question should be answered.
Was that in a story?
Yes. 1948 Olympics.
As Kirby's Googling.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not Googling anything.
Anybody? Even a guess, maybe?
No.
Melbourne?
Mm. Right, that's, so you've put in the answer. It is wrong. It's London.
Yeah.
Right, so those, those 2 points remain in the bonus pot. So we come back round to Mary.
What story?
Wasn't it the one where the fear here, was it?
Oh, I can't remember. I don't really care. It doesn't say. It just says London.
No, it was the more recent Olympics.
I've lost the question card now.
He could have mentioned something like, he could have mentioned that I went there, you know.
When the doctor admired a torchbearer held in.
I don't know. Going, you know, carrying the Olympic torch, you know.
I think it's just a reference to Fear Her, isn't it? Because obviously London as well, wasn't it? And
that's the only one I could think of.
Never mind. Right. So where were you? It was Mary's question, isn't it? Mary, you've got a... I dropped it. Oh, still pink. Companions question. Which of the Doctor's female companions starred in the one-off 1981 special K-9 and Company?
It's a hard one, Mary.
Don't forget.
Jake, okay, I'll do a joker.
Hey.
It's Sarah Kane.
Hey. Oh, missed the bell. Brings Mary into the game.
I got a big two.
That's what she said. Right then, Robert, that's right, still on the verge of victory. It's match point for Robert. Oh, my God.
It's a good one.
Oh. I'm not going to use that question. It's too easy.
Oh, no. It's me. You can't do that.
Right, I'll leave it up to the other players. Should I read this question out for Robert, everybody?
Well, you leave it to the dice, so yeah, he should get whatever comes up.
What do you reckon, Kirby?
Probably get it wrong.
Do it. By the way, the 1948 Olympics were mentioned in Fear Her.
Splendid.
Yeah, there you go.
I did Google it after.
All right, thank you. I'm just going to poise the pointer over the closing title music. There we go, right then. Robert, for the match, what is Brigadier Lethbridge-Stewart's first name?
Alistair.
And what's his second name?
Gordon.
I say Gordon Lethbridge.
And he never used his joker.
He did. Oh, no, he didn't. He did.
I did.
Yeah, he did. That's how he ended up with that many points.
I think this is the first time I've won it, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't have all of them on me.
There you go. I'm sure that... I thought you did have all of them on, Kirby, because I thought you had a database of who's won what.
I've got a database, but I don't have... I didn't add quiz winner until later.
So you got to go back and have a look, haven't you?
I'm going to have to go back. By the way, since
listen
I had
to every
drop out,
single one.
Since I had to drop out early last week, who won the quiz?
Ooh.
We didn't have one, did we?
No, we didn't have one.
We didn't have one.
No, you ruined it, Kirby.
I will indicate that.
You ruined it by dropping out.
Well, sorry.
Not good enough.
We had a crisis with the cat.
They should know that they're under lockdown, Kirby.
Well, the cats. Yeah. Cats should know it's lockdown. Stir crazy cats. Right then. So next time.
No quiz. I do keep track of no quiz.
Yeah. Right then. I was going to say something. Oh, yes. Next time. It's probably the same time next place. So I don't think it'd be quite mean of She Must Be Obeyed to deny me the the birthday episode. Yes, next week is our 10th birthday episode, in which I haven't got time to set up anything majorly special. And I've found that with experience of milestone episodes, it's not really worth doing anyway. But we will, of course, enjoy ourselves and do it, and probably won't have any special guests on it. But anybody
so
can bother.
So, are we going to discuss Five Doctors next week?
Yes, of course we are. And anybody that can be bothered to show up for the show would be grateful. I have actually got here in my possession a pack of Milton hand sanitizer, which is the best hand sanitizer you get, to try and keep me well for the next 7 days. And of course, the show itself will go out on the 12th of May. Sorry, which is essentially.
Even though we have interest from both Nicole and Matthew.
Have we?
Yes. For the Five Doctors.
Nice to have interest for, isn't it? Oh, I'm interested. Well, I might not necessarily show up. Well, I have to show up every blimmin' week.
That's true.
Anyway, so that's what's happening next week. Also, I'm going to be in negotiations to rope in Mr. Kyle Quinn to do the show, just so as to get you lot introduced to him and get him into the show and hopefully rope him back in more permanently when the new series is.
Harley Quinn.
No, it's not Harley. No, it's Kyle.
That's his brother.
Kyle Quinn. No, Harley was a woman. But anyway, yeah, so and the good thing about him coming on the show, of course, and it being our 10th anniversary show, is that he lives in the same house as Alicia, so you never know what might happen. Yes, so hopefully, fingers crossed. It might not happen, but I'm gonna try. It shouldn't take too much effort. He's a very nice chap. And he's also a professional entertainer, so he should be able
maybe
to do podcasts quite easily.
Maybe he could bring Alicia in to say something because she's on the very first.
As well as I know, Alicia is her own woman and will do what she well wants and what she would probably likely do. And that's bearing in mind, this is a little story from Saturday. I texted her in the morning, said, "Well, I'm going to go out and do a doorstep portrait photo. I could drive round yours and do yours if you like. I'll be there about 1:30. Fair enough, I did get done a bit earlier. So I said to her, well, I'm going to be there in about 20 minutes, and turned up. And she took 45 minutes to do her makeup for a photo shoot that lasted 1 minute.
Yep, that sounds like Alicia.
So I had to sit or stand outside the house all that time waiting for her to get ready for... and the sad thing was their dog kept on coming out and saying hello and thought she was going out for a walk on every occasion. And was very, very frustrated. But yeah, so that's what the aim for next week is, to try and get Kyle on. And Terry Miles says, well done, Robert.
Oh, thank you.
I've already updated the database with your win, Robert.
Oh, thank you.
Mm. Oh, you're immortal.
I think it must be... the first time I've won, maybe.
I don't know.
I don't think I've won before. I don't.
No, I'm sure you have.
I don't know.
It has been going. It would have been going a very long time indeed, in various formats. I have actually found the documents containing the questions and answers for the Ultimate Doctor Who Quiz Book, What I Wrote, which is currently available for purchase on Amazon.
Can I ask you something, then, Adam?
What? Yeah.
Who's speaking? Me.
Yeah,
I was going to say, because I was looking up, because I've got a Kindle, right?
Mm-hmm.
That means I can buy your books to read on, right?
Yes.
I've just seen a lot of books. I know the quiz ones are yours. Mm-hmm. Have you ever wrote romance novels?
No. Although, I will say
there are some by Anne Adam Pearson. I was wondering.
No, I will say that Diary of an Unwilling Virgin and From Troy to Man have a lot of romance in them. They're not specifically romance novels.
No, it's just I've seen lots of romance, specifically romance novels, bearing your name, and I was just wondering.
No, they should have researched writers' names and only allowed mine.
Oh.
So there you go. Yeah, so that's... so if you want to buy that... Oh, also, there's the facts book as well. Yeah. 100 facts about Doctor Who, which is quite interesting.
Quite a few books from you, actually, on Amazon.
But I think the Ultimate Doctor Who Quiz Book is... I was looking through some of the questions, and they're really hard. For instance, question 64. Right. What form does the Master Stardust take when it first appears in the Third Doctor story, Terror of the Autons? So everybody had gone quiet. Ooh, nobody remembers.
Is it a won't be a computer bank, will it? Yeah, you know, one of those reel-to-reel ones. No. That was in Time Munster, I think.
It was a horse box. So.
Oh, that's right, because he's outside the circus, isn't he?
Yeah. In the fifth Doctor story, the Visitation, what is the machine that Nyssa sets up in the TARDIS to defend it against the android? What
the
is
one that,
that
vibrates everything.
Yeah, what's it called, though?
I can't remember. Yeah, it's a Sonic something or other, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, you got one of the words right, Sonic Booster. So that's the sort of questions that are in the quiz, but there's some really hard ones in there.
Yeah, those are hard.
Very easy ones. So we might have to resort to these questions at some point during future editions of You Won't Get This One. Otherwise, I've written it for nothing.
I used it for several years at conventions while I was running the...
Yeah, was that before or after you said the questions were too hard?
Before what?
Was that before or after you said that the questions were too hard?
It was the people that I was reading them to and, who said it was too hard.
Right, okay. The people said it, not you. Okay.
So I started just coming up with my own questions.
Don't you remember I sent you a set of slightly easier questions through? Like, what's the name of the TV series that features a character called the Doctor and it's been running from 1963
until date?
What colour is the machine that they travel around in?
That's too difficult, Robert. Too difficult. So, Doctor Who news. Jodie Whittaker joins the Charity Appeal. Did anybody see this? There was a thing that all the doctors
Charity Appeal for what?
For children's hospices around Scotland. but she also, the other doctors...
I've got some news as well.
You got some news as well?
Yeah. Oh, Do you know Wally K. Daly died?
Who?
Wally K. Daly. He wrote the missing story from season 20. It was supposed to be season 23, I think it was, or something like that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, Ultimate Evil. They put out a lost story of the Ultimate Evil on Big Finish towards the end of last year, which he had a hand in. But he died at the end of April.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Yeah, so we basically got Doctors Unite for Big Night In. Has anybody not seen the video that was posted?
I haven't watched them all yet.
And I did mention last week that Tom Baker looked a bit frail in the video.
Yeah, he does.
But it features Colin Baker, Matt Smith, Tom Baker, Peter Davison, Paul McGann, Jodie Whittaker, Joe Thingamajig. never remember her name. Sylvester McCoy, Peter Capaldi, and and David Tennant, all doing a little.
Peter and David Tennant, is that one person?
Pardon?
You said Peter and David Tennant.
Peter Capaldi, David Tennant, I said.
No, you
said Peter and David Tennant.
I think you're fine. When you listen back to the show, I said Capaldi.
We'll see.
If you don't own up to the fact that you're wrong, you'll get points deducted for next week. Yeah, that's about it, really. It's not really that much news, to be fair. So there's Doctor Who Magazine 551, which features the 11th and 10th Doctors.
Which you could get from whowon.co.uk.
Indeed. Well done, Kirby.
Well done.
Doctor Who Shadows of the Sun release date May the 4th.
Can I tell you something about that audio?
Which one?
It's unique in that it's been recorded over in isolation.
What is?
Like Tom's at his house, and that's how they've recorded the story.
Oh, cool.
And Matthew knows the writer as well of that particular story.
Oh, well, that's all right then, isn't it? The first full-cast, full-length Doctor Who audio drama to have been recorded entirely during lockdown will be released on my birthday. Tom Baker, Louise Jameson, John Leeson-Stein, Doctor Who, Shadow of the Sun, the Fourth Doctor mystery adventure written by Rob Valentine. There you go, Robert. Isn't that exciting? Power of the Daleks special edition is coming out.
Yeah.
On Blu-ray and DVD. It says BBC Studios have announced a special edition of the animated story Power of the Daleks that will be released on the 6th of July.
You know what they've done?
Hmm?
No.
They've done reanimated big sections of it to get it up to the standard of what they want it now, because it was a rushed release in the first place.
Oh, okay.
So they've given it much more time to do it. But also they're including some more extras on it as well. And I don't think the colour version will be included with it either.
Cool. BBC Studios have announced that Doctor Who will be the focus of a new multi-platform story launching later this year. Time Lord Victorious will see partners including
Penguin,
Random House, Doctor Who Magazine, Titan Comics, Escape Hunt, Big Finish Productions, Eagle Moss, Hero Collector, Immersive Anywhere, Maze Theory, BBC Books, BBC Audio, Unite to tell the brand new Doctor Who story. Blah, 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 blah. There's not much else, is there, really? I've already talked about that. Yeah, so that's it for Doctor Who news. I will say, before I go, that we have been watching lots and lots of Marvel stuff.
What did you watch last
time? That's marvelous.
Very good. I'm thoroughly enjoying it, so much so that I'm going to get the...
What did you watch last week, you know, when you... left us
Marvel stuff. We've watched lots of Marvel films.
Was it Doctor Strange? Was it
Doctor Strange? We watched this week because although we've watched them slightly out of order because Deb wanted to watch Iron Man 1, 2, and 3, which span quite a large part of the Marvel timeline. We then started watching the first Thor film, Captain America, and all that. So then we started getting them in order because you could work out which films were before and after the first Avengers film. Now we got to the point where we'd watched all the introductory films, including Ant-Man, up to the point we needed to watch Infinity War, watched the other day. And it was so refreshing watching Infinity War, knowing the background of all the characters in it, which I didn't when I watched it in the cinema. So that was really enjoyable. And then we watched a film called Ant-Man and the Wasp, which I was advised was absolute rubbish, and I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
It's quite fun.
It's certainly
like
better
when
than
grows
Ant-Man.
Up to the really huge size.
It's brilliant. I love his gang of former criminals, especially that chap that's in Jexy. That he plays the boss in Jexy, but the one who rambles rather like I do, and when he tells his stories about what people said, all the characters say exactly, it's fantastically well done. Really, really good film. So I really enjoyed that. Next one we're going to watch is Captain Marvel, and then it's Endgame, followed by the Spider-Man Homecoming, I think it's called, isn't it? Then we've done a whole lot. But yeah, it's really, really good. Thoroughly enjoyed the Marvel Universe. I might have to go and rewatch it. Like I say, so much so that I've managed to, for my birthday, get the Funko pop of Thor with his axe in Thanos' chest, or as the Americans call him, Thanos, just before Thanos says that he should have gone for the head. But yeah, so... really good, really thoroughly enjoyed. There's some really good stuff on Netflix and Amazon at the moment. We've watched a series called Hollywood, just the first episode of that on Netflix.
What's that about? Hollywood?
Oh, it's about Hollywood, the sort of slightly seedy side of Hollywood in the 1940s.
Is it a modern day? Period piece.
It's really good.
Sounds good.
We watched today a new series on Amazon, which is called Upload, which really enjoyed it.
Because I've seen the previous one, it looks very good.
Yeah, I watched the first episode of it. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's really good. Thoroughly. Both series are very brightly lit and beautiful and colourful, which I quite like, because a lot of stuff on these channels, they're quite dark, you know. And they use brightness and bright lit stuff for dream sequences like you see in Stranger Things or in Umbrella Academy. But those two series are really good. And also some of the documentary series that are on both Amazon and Netflix are really good. Obviously, everybody's watched Tiger King. I don't think you can really...
I haven't, but I've heard about it.
I couldn't watch it more than the first episode, even part of the first episode.
It looks a bit bizarre.
Once you've got through it, it is bizarre, but it's sort of enthralling.
I know, but
that's not what it's about. I think it's about the people who trying to make out that they're conservationists. Sorry?
They got no teeth.
No, but they're trying to make out they're conservationists, and they're the complete opposite.
I know. That woman's just as bad as
she is. Carol Baskin, and everybody thinks she probably did kill her first husband. What's the other thing that's really good? There's a series on there called The Innocent Files, which is a documentary series about people who were imprisoned who were innocent.
Wrongfully imprisoned.
That's it. Yeah. Which is thoroughly entertaining and almost also sort of heart-wrenching when you get these people who have been in prison for 20 years that they haven't done anything. And one bloke was on death row for 10 years and he hadn't done anything. And another series on Amazon called The Unexpected Killer. That's quite a good one. But yeah, there's lots and lots of stuff. I think they've deliberately put some good stuff on there for us to watch, you know, because we've got nothing else to do, really. But yeah, so that's where we are in our viewing. I've got to try and fit in the Five Doctors between now and next week, like I say. So,
why do you make it sound like a chore?
Yeah, Five Doctors is so much fun.
It is good. It is fun. Telling me. But I've got a lot of background work to do, as in trying to get Carl to come on and get the DVD out to him. And it's 8:25, and I think it will rather impress She Who Must Be Obeyed, who's in the other room watching something on Netflix.
Can I say something about Five Doctors first?
No, I'll go on then.
No, because somebody lent me a video of it when after it had aired on ABC here, and I was writing down a transcript of it. So the first, I don't know, 15 minutes or so, I knew off by heart all the lines.
Wow.
Like the TARDIS was confused or whatever. No, I don't know.
Right,
I have flashbacks.
So next time... God knows what's going to happen with our birthday the Five Doctors all rather come together in the same.
It'll be fun.
It's a shame that it's not episode 450, really, isn't it? But it isn't. What
number is it?
448.
Two off.
I think it's 448. But so this week it's 447. I'm pretty sure I did announce the title episode. No, 448 next week. Anyway, so until then, thank you for listening, taking part, watching, and contributing to the show. Please continue to do so. Goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye. Au revoir.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whowon.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.